despite considerable effort within the ASEAN to create an effective framework to facilitate movement of the highly skilled, progress of the bloc has been slow and uneven. For instance, between 2005 and 2012, ASEAN member governments signed mutual recognition arrangement, or the MRAs, in six occupations: engineering, nursing, architecture, medicine, dentistry, and tourism. And a framework arrangement on MRAs in two others, in surveying and accounting. So, despite progress on paper, several technical and political barriers at the national and regional level impede professionals from actually moving and practicing their professions in other ASEAN countries. There is also difference in the position of ASEAN, as partly can be seen from the country positions with regards to the ASEAN Qualification Reference Framework, or AQRF. Distinguished guests, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, over the next two days, our discussion will focus on at least four key areas. First one, what we know and what we don't know about the nature and the extent of movement of professionals within ASEAN today and in the future. Second, what can we learn from experiences of other countries and also other regions of the world? Third, what are the progress and challenges ASEAN countries face in limiting these flows? And four, what are the potential areas for policy reforms in the short, medium, and long terms? By bringing together experts, policymakers, and other stakeholders from different fields of endeavor, interests, and geographic regions, the Bali Forum also aims to chart new visions on how to move forward in this critical yet largely underexplored policy area. Finally, the Bali Forum should also result in a country action plan for each participating country that highlights the way forward to progress on the skill mobility aspirations for the successful implementation of the ASEAN economic community. Thank you, and have a good and fruitful discussion days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Santoro. Now, if I call on Takuro Kasaka, Counselor for Economic Affairs, Embassy of Japan in Indonesia, Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Japan. Counselor, please.
Excellencies, distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to make a brief remark on behalf of the Japanese government at the opening of the Bali Forum on Skill Mobility in ASEAN. This project is financially supported by the Japan Fund for Poverty Reduction of the Asian Development Bank, that is ADB's largest single donor trust fund, standing at around $700 million. For ASEAN, 2015 is a commemorative year, since the ASEAN community, which consists of ASEAN Political Security Community, ASEAN Economic Community, and ASEAN Sociocultural Community, is due to be established, and efforts toward its establishment are being strengthened. In particular, the future of AEC will have major impacts on Japan-ASEAN economic ties. ASEAN is Japan's second biggest trade partner and its third investment destination. Japanese companies have established more than 8,100 bases in ASEAN region. The government of Japan will continue to support the efforts for ASEAN integration, bearing in mind these close economic relations and Japan's being a strategic partner to ASEAN. Japan's support for this forum is perfectly aligned with this Japan's diplomatic policy toward the ASEAN integration. This year also commemorates the 10th anniversary of the East Asian Summit after its foundation in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia in 2005. Over the past 10 years, EAS has functioned as a forum which leaders can have straightforward talks on important regional and global issues. Japan places high importance to EAS as well as the region's premier forum for leaders to discuss strategic issues and will actively contribute to it. With the establishment of the ASEAN community, ASEAN member states will strengthen their mutual cooperation and gain a higher profile in the global community. Towards the 70th anniversary of ASEAN in 2017, The government of Japan will make its utmost efforts to strengthen Japan-ASEAN relations. I wish to have your continued support and cooperation for this endeavor. Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, I would like to express my sincere appreciation to Asian Development Bank and Migration Policy Institute for organizing this fantastic event. I wish this very timely and important event all the success. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Tasaka. Now may I call on Secretary Imelda Nicolas from the Chairperson of the Commission in Filipinos Overseas Government of the Philippines. Secretary, please.
Distinguished officials and guests, participants, ladies and gentlemen. 39 years ago, this historic place of Bali was the birthplace of the Declaration of ASEAN Culture, where heads of governments of member states reaffirmed their commitment to progress, stability, and solidarity in the region. 27 years later, another milestone happened here. This time, what is now known as the Bali Concord II was established. This declaration enhanced the, and I quote, the achievements of the ASEAN as a dynamic, resilient, and cohesive regional association, end of quote. Today, we are getting together for this first forum on skilled mobility in ASEAN, in the same place where these two historic regional declarations were minted and agreed upon. It is fitting that we keep this in mind as a reminder of the triumphs of the past, as well as our collective aspiration to do better for our people and our region. As we embark on a new era of regional integration in what we call ASEAN Community 2015, I believe that we, who are involved in international migration and development, should take a closer look at the current realities of one key aspect of mobility in the region, that is labor migration, how it is evolving over time, and how we can move forward towards more substantive and significant regional integration. In recent decades, ASEAN emerged as one of the world's most dynamic regions, particularly its remarkable economic growth. It is considered the seventh largest economy in the world. It is also ranked as the fourth largest exporting region behind EU, United States, and China. With this notable economic progress, all 10 ASEAN member states attained higher living standards for its 600 million combined population. Between 1991 and 2013, 83 million rose to middle class status in Southeast Asia. By 2017, its middle class is expected to expand to 144 million. However, despite achieving a strategic economic position in a highly dynamic global economy, and being home to the third largest labor force in the world, next to China and India, ASEAN still suffers from the following in its labor market: pervasive vulnerability, disparities in skills, wages, productivity, and gender, high youth unemployment, and constantly shifting supply and demand. These persistent challenges are contrary to ASEAN's overall vision of developing a region, and I quote, outward looking, living in peace, stability, and prosperity, banded together in partnership in dynamic development and in a community of caring societies, end of quote. The rise in the stock of intra-ASEAN migrants that is rooted within the region started in 1990. Between 1990 and 2013, intra-ASEAN migrants rose from 1.5 to 6.5 million. Over the same period, ASEAN nationals living abroad also expanded in size. The UN Global Migration Database shows gaps in the distribution of labor among ASEAN members influenced by a number of factors, including large income disparities among geographically close ASEAN members, differential rates of population growth and aging, and the absence of regional redistributive mechanisms. Specifically, there are four net receiving countries in the region, namely Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. These key destination countries receive more than half of their migrant stocks from other ASEAN member states. Thus, there is a growing portion of migrants going to other ASEAN member states, except for Vietnam and the Philippines, whose migrants are mostly situated in Gulf Arab states, East Asia, Europe, and North America. As a labor-sending country, the Philippines has long addressed the implications of international labor mobility, even before the inception of AEC 2015. It has served as a pioneer in advocating for the protection of migrants within ASEAN from a human rights perspective. As a result, in 2007, the ASEAN Declaration for the Protection and Promotion of the Rights of Migrant Workers was signed in Cebu, in the Philippines. Today, Filipinos are in more than 200 countries who are living and or working in a great variety of jobs and professions. As of 2013, the Filipino diaspora stands at 10.2 million Filipinos, composed of 48% permanent migrants, 41% temporary migrants, or as popularly known as overseas Filipino workers, and 11% of migrants in irregular situations. Despite the huge size of temporary migrants, the Philippines' deployment statistics in ASEAN countries in 2013 remained small at 37,291 compared to its estimated 4.2 million employed in different countries. According to Martin and Abella, 2014, and I quote, language, education, and long-established networks have enabled most Filipinos to go to other destinations. End of quote. Under the leadership of President Benigno S. Aquino III, the Philippine government incorporated policy statement on international migration in its Philippine Development Plan, our blueprint for development. In this two-day forum, new perspectives on labor mobility will emerge, shedding lights on issues ranging from the nature and extent of movement of professionals to barriers to freer labor mobility. We'll try to identify research and data gaps, as well as the progress and challenges faced by the various ASEAN member countries in facilitating labor mobility. We hope that this forum will help develop effective strategies to gradually overcome the identified obstacles and determine potential areas for policy reform in the short, medium, and long term. I urge all of us to actively participate in this first forum on skill mobility in ASEAN, as we are bound together by our common and shared desire for a harmonious, prosperous, and equitable regional integration. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Secretary Nicolas. Now, if I call on Michael Fix, President of the Migration Policy Institute.
Good morning. I want to say how honored I am and MPI is to be here. And I just want to take this opportunity to really thank you all for coming and to really thank our colleagues at the ADB, at the Japan Fund for Poverty, and the Japan International Cooperation Agency, and the Secretary of the ASEAN for making this event and our involvement in it possible. I thought I might just say a word about the Migration Policy Institute on the assumption that you all don't know exactly what we are about and every research project that we've developed. We are a small, we are a very energetic think tank with offices in Washington, D.C. and in Brussels. We've had a several-year presence here in Asia where Dublin Mendoza, who you've met, to work closely with Secretary Nicholas. And at FBI, we work on immigration, we work on immigrant integration, and we work on the very pertinent topic of migration and development. We are comparativists by nature, and a deep focus of our work through the years has been on the mobility of skilled labor in Europe, in the United States, and worldwide. In part because of our experience in North America and in Europe, we are also fervent believers in the importance of developing regional strategies to mobility and to other migration and development issues, strategies that are very much embodied in the ASEAN. So, as you might imagine, this project is very much at our core as we proceed as an institution. Let me say, you've heard a little about this, but let me say a word about how we got here today. We've had long conversations over the course of the late last year in 2015 with our colleagues at the ADB and JICA. And we held a roundtable here in Bali in May. And at that roundtable, we brought together a group of experts, scholars, a group of practitioners, including Secretary Nicholas, including Dr. Cha and Professor Santoso. And the roundtable basically helped us to shape the paper and the issue brief that we're going to be releasing, as well as this multi-year project, which, as you've heard, is intended to better understand the barriers the free movement of professionals within this dynamic region and how to overcome them. We've since begun research with national consultants from each of the ASEAN countries on cross-border flows of professionals and on the progress of MRI implementation across ASEAN countries. And at the same time, the ADB has been developing projections of future demand and supply of workers in the 8 target occupations of the ASEAN set out in the MRAs. We've also carried out intensive focus groups, first in September and over the course of the last 2 days, with many of the countries and representatives of many of the countries in the occupational groups that oversee these MRAs, mutual recognition agreements. As the Vice President and Secretary Nicholas have mentioned, we have a number of goals for this meeting, and at the risk of being a bit repetitious, but this way you will really know the goals. First, taking off from the issue paper that you've received, we're going to try to develop a better understanding of what mutual recognition agreements can and cannot accomplish, where they fit in a larger, deeper understanding of how best to promote the flows of skilled labor. Second, we're going to try to better understand the challenges to complete implementation of those MRAs. Third, we're going to try to learn about the trends and data on who is moving and where and the future supply and demand of workers within the ASEAN. Fourth, to learn more about the prospects for the development of ASEAN-wide educational standards and how those educational standards build human capital, contribute to building human capital. Fifth, we're very interested in learning more about what is the often neglected private sector and its role in driving the push for skill mobility. Private sector thought of not just in terms of large multinational firms, but also in terms of small and medium entities, business enterprises that are often overlooked in that discussion. And finally, we're going to try to think about how do we build momentum across NGOs, across private industry, across national governments for promoting the mobility of the highly skilled in the region. As you may have noticed, we're going to be using a number of different approaches to presenting information. We're taking these different approaches in an attempt to keep the high-skilled professionals within this room from being tempted to migrate to Bali's beaches over the course of the next 2 days. And so these different approaches range from traditional panels to cafe-style interviews moderated by Simon Wong of The Economist, who is agreed to be here, to blue sky sessions in which we can step back and see where these mobility issues fit in the larger regional and global agenda. So with that, let me conclude and again say how delighted we are to be here and to be involved in this process, and again to thank you for coming, and to thank the ADB and JICA for their partnership, guidance, and support. Thank you.
For more information, visit the Migration Policy Institute at www.migrationpolicy.org.